Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Petzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm very pleased to be joined today by Lori Price, who's the editor of Citizens for Legitimate Government, which does a sensational job of tracking the latest news developments and keeping the public aware of what's taking place. Lori, I got a new report here about electric cars, and the claim is that they have nothing to do with the climate. They have to do with control manipulation, that there got to be trackers on these cars because they don't have a tax set up for charging, for electrical charging, that they're going to have trackers that'll report to the government every damn thing you do with your car. This is disgusting. But, you know, so many of these cars are blowing up. The lithium batteries are totally unstable. People who try to do a haul with a Ford electric pickup truck find it's incapable of hauling the load. I mean, this is such a monster scam, but I think the public is catching on.
Hi, Jim. Thanks so much for having me. Yes, it's insane. The electric cars. Oh, my God. Plus, Inflation Reduction Act, or one of those bills, maybe it was the Infrastructure Act, another joke, include the mandate that a kill switch had to be installed on every car by 2026, so the car can be remotely shut off. Once again, we have an idea that may help, you know, one in 10,000 events where you see an individual steal your child, you can immediately get on the horn. They're not going to care about helping the people with these ideas. Yeah, so even if you get the whole electric car, which you take the chance on the battery exploding, which that's one reason when I first heard about that, that was it for me, okay? Even if you put aside the money and everything else, the fact that you could be in your house, the car's in the garage, and the whole house goes down, and they can't put those fires out right away. They're not normal fires, right? So that's that. But anyway, it's a terrible, terrible way to go. And they don't really care about the environment, obviously, because there's been about six people who've come along that have invented a car to run on water, even salt water, believe it or not. dirty water, any kind of water. It was a guy who did it for $1,200, a $1,200 addition. You could get your car to run on water. Now, you know, they could approve that and all that. And then there'd be no emissions, right? But of course, that person was murdered along with the other five people. So that tells you they don't care about the environment. It's all for control. Like you're saying, these cars are a disaster. And something else, Michael Rechtenwald Redder, he put this together himself. I'm not sure, but he's the one that told me the cars weigh a lot more. Okay. So now we have collapsing infrastructure as it is, right? So when you start getting a higher percentage of these electric cars, what's going to happen to parking garages? These bridges that are on their last legs, they're all going to go down. I mean, because the weight of these cars is going to pull all these other infrastructures down. So, I mean, it's a disaster. No one wants these cars anyway. And they can make them cheaper, but, you know, it's just they never solve the problem of the possibility of the batteries, you know, with the explosions. And that's my main concern.
I think those are great points. And of course, I believe one of the reasons we were in Afghanistan so long is we were looting lithium deposit there, which is one of the greatest in the world, where lithium, of course, is used in components and computers, triggers for nuclear weapons and electric car batteries, as well as protecting the poppy crop. You know, now that we're out, the Taliban have already reduced the production of poppies and opium to like 10% of what it was when we were there. And a lot of people think, Lori, we actually went into Afghanistan because the CIA wanted to benefit from all the poppies there and that the Taliban had cut them off.
Right. Because we in the summer, I guess it was, this is in the mainstream media, by the way. And if you go back like on certain, you know, either Wayback Machine or other places, you can go to the archives and see this was in the mainstream media, actually, that the Taliban got rid of all the opium production by the summer of 2001. I don't know if they did it in 2000 or 2001, but it was gone. All right. And then we go in there and the British, and then suddenly it comes back up, which, yes, I think that was one of the reasons. You know, it's just the reasons are never benevolent, you know. I mean, Bin Forgotten had Bin Laden, a.k.a. I call him Bin Forgotten. He had nothing to do with Afghanistan anyway. He was a rich Saudi. I mean, I don't, and you know, of course, I don't know what his role was in 9/11, but I know Bush and Cheney had a role, so I don't know what his role was. But anyway, we had no reason to go there, or Iraq, or, you know, it's just, I thought that would be the most disgusting thing governments have done in a long time, but I just can't even believe where we are now. I just believe it's a good versus evil thing at this point. It's so insane. I don't even know what to say anymore. It's beyond politics. It's leapfrog politics, because what they're pulling, whenever somebody decent comes along, somehow they're destroyed or indicted or arrested or, anybody who doesn't toe the line finds mysteriously bad things happening. They then don't have a role in helping. And, you know, all these doctors that lost their license in the pandemic for actually curing people, and the ones that got promoted that you see on TV all the time, the ones that didn't speak out against the vaccine, I mean, they're the ones that flourished, you know. I mean, I don't know. I think it's a good versus evil thing at this point, but generally, MAGA people in the MAGA movement are onto it, and that's why people. It's not even about, like they say, Trump or, you know, these other people running. And I sort of had hopes for Vivek Ramaswamy, but then I guess in a Twitter Spaces he said we should have the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. That evil treaty. So, I mean, what is the push now to make him vice president and then do something to Trump? So if Trump somehow gets in there, then we get the TPP guy. I mean, what he's soaring now. So, I mean, I don't know what's going on, but, you know, people are, the only positive is that people are awakening to what's going on, all these connections, and they're awakening.
And in some cases, Lori, they're not even hiding what they're doing, such as Maui. I mean, this is so obvious. Directed energy manufacturer. They're claiming, of course, it's because of climate change. I have a report that Biden is planning to announce a national emergency based on climate, using all these fabricated events as a justification, which would give them control, dictatorial control over the whole nation, communication, transportation, commerce, the whole bit would be under his thumb. And we know it's not Biden who's doing all this. It's Obama who's using Biden as a puppet, Obama and Soros and other miscreants who are out to destroy America.
Right. The goal is to destroy America from within. I mean, these I don't even know what word to call them, scumbags, since I'm on the air. I don't want to call them anything worse. But this coterie of scumbags, okay, now they have private security, everything they preach. And by the way, I questioned for a long time humans having a mark on the planet. I saw it global. I saw it warming from when I was little. There was always snow on the ground the whole from November to mid-March, okay, which was then my birthday, right? So then, you know, I saw the snow on the ground. Now I don't see that. So I questioned it. But when you look at anybody can question something. Science is never settled. That's fine. But when these scumbags say global warming and your carbon footprint, okay, and you should eat insects, okay, do you think Obama and Soros and, you know, person X and their kids and Bill Gates and their kids are eating cricket meal for their dinner, or are they eating the best steak they can find? Are they buying oceanfront property? Where are these people living? They're living on oceanfront property. So if the oceans are rising, why live there? They're flying around privately, leaving huge carbon footprints anytime they do an activity. And even these celebrities, they're even more hypocritical, like Brad Pitt and all this. I think he was the one with the yacht, the one with the climate and the yacht. I don't know. I think it's him or Leonardo DiCaprio. I'm sorry. I may get them mixed up. But anyway, one of them with a huge super yacht is talking about the environment. Well, I mean, how does that thing get fueled? And then to cap it all off, the Nord Stream, or as that imbecile Karine Jean-Pierre calls it, Nordstrom. She's so stupid, they're throwing it in our faces to pick her, a moron. Anyway, to blow up the Nord Stream pipeline, that impact, all the things they preach about not getting energy from Russia and the environment. Think of the environmental destruction of that pipeline. And also that in Europe not being able to get cheap energy, it was to destroy every Western country by opening the borders. I mean, pure open borders, all right? Opening the borders and flooding it with people from other countries and cultures that don't respect the country they're going to in general. There's always exceptions, okay? Destroying it, allowing you to steal in every city under $1,000. So that means the smash and grab. So even if you arrest the people, they're going to say, oh, the handbag was only $800. Where's my, you know, my summons, whatever. Anyway, they're destroying it. They have the best security, as I was saying about the hypocrisy. They live in oceanfront places. They fly private. They drive wherever they want. They eat whatever they want. And they have top security, and they want to take the guns from people. And once they do that, that's it, because it's game over. That keeps them a little bit at bay, knowing people have guns. Once they take the guns, that's it. That's it. I mean, this is destruction of the U.S. from within. That's planned for the Great Reset. That's all what they want, the Great Reset, so they can take all the resources. The elites can have the resources and have a group of slaves underneath. And that's what I see the plan is of all these end games. They want us living in 15-minute cities, of course, tracked. And if you don't comply, if you're in a 15-minute city that has an electronic gate and you don't comply, there's no escaping the vaccine or anything else. If you're in a 15-minute city, there's nothing you can do. All right. For the for the trade-off of minor conveniences. They always have a little bit of convenience that they promise, or a little, treat that they promise, you know. So perhaps there'll be universal basic income and all that, but they, once you're in a 15-minute city, you're not going to be able to get out of there or violate any of its rules. They'll take the money through central bank digital currency. You know, you can be charged for money you have in the bank. You can have negative interest rates. It's all coming. I mean, they think, if you're a conspiracy theorist for saying this, it's here. It's here. There's a festival, I think, in Brazil that if you have PayPal or cash, you'll be asked to leave the festival. I think it's Brazil, but I'm not 100% sure, but it's some upcoming festival in September that's huge. And if you're a vendor and you take cash or PayPal other than electronic, you know, what electronic payment that they approve of, that they allow, then you're not allowed to be in the festival. And if people start accepting, that's where it'll start. Something where everybody wants to go, some music thing. That's usually how they start these things, where people really want to go. And then that's where they start testing these plans. But anyway, that's where I see it heading.
Lori, that's very, very disturbing. And, you know, there's so much going on here. It looks like it's a massive land grab in Maui. Yep. And that they're not hiding what's going on. I've been very puzzled by a piece by a fellow who calls himself Miles Mathis, claiming they're faking photos from Maui. And when he writes about it, he explains how a wildfire leaves the earth scorched and black. And yet the photographs coming from Maui show all these areas that are white. And he thereby infers that they're sending fake photos, when he ought to be inferring that means it wasn't a wildfire. In fact, a white power is just what we saw in Paradise, California. So this raises serious questions in my mind as to what this guy is all about.
This thing infuriates me with Maui. Probably it's so horrible, more than anything. And they throw it in our faces. Just a little thing, as Biden said, he's laser focused on Maui after he finally gave a comment days later. Now, here's the thing. He has no vocabulary. He's an idiot. We know that. So for him to use that word, he has a certain set of words that he uses all the time, the same garbage that spews from his controlled mouth. Okay. And laser is not one of them in his like 100-word vocabulary, right? He's like a 5-year-old. Okay. Oh, come on, man, and all this garbage, right? So he said he's laser focused on Maui. That's a stick it. That's a stick it to us. Are you kidding me? Now, those pictures, this is unreal. Every movie we've seen, which this now I haven't read, this is my own analysis, whatever. Any movie you've seen, and we've seen a lot of movies in our lifetimes, where they discuss wildfires, where they're in the plot, people always have time to get out. So what is it when you, A, have no time to get out? And somebody pointed out none of those car doors of those cars were open, which is so horrible. They didn't even have time to get out of their cars. So I've seen pictures of hundreds of cars, and people are sitting in them. So you're a father, and you don't grab your one-year-old out of your car? You had no time. You would do anything to get out of that car, okay? So nobody got out of the cars. The death toll they're lying about. This is insane. They water. Oh, my God. The guy said, we discuss equity. He's an one of Obama's foundations. He said, equity must be discussed before we allow water to be disseminated. OK. And people are burning to death. And you're talking about equity. I mean, this is a stick it. Who are they kidding? And then on top of that, they didn't put the sirens on, because he said people might run into the fire. Are you kidding me? That would have saved. I don't know. They wanted everybody dead so they can go in and take the land. Because even if you have insurance 100%, you don't get the full value of what the home is worth. And they want to make it a smart island. You know, that's what they want to do. They've already had plans. They're such liars. And if people accept this, they're doing these fires all over. They started in Canada. They got away with it there. Or they started in what? In the U.S. I mean, they've done it here, but they're getting away with it. they're just going to do more and more fires every season and then say it's climate change and then seize all the land. I mean, who are they? I mean, if people put up with this, I think, remember that picture, one house survived, one iconic house? It's because, and then I read it was made out of wood. So why did the wooden house, that would sadly be the only one that would go if you have a forest fire. Wouldn't the wooden house go and the other houses and the metal and the cars stay? It's just, it's like the World Trade Center situation, you know, we're burning. Oh, yeah, and one last thing. Isn't the temperature of a fire like 800 degrees plus, a little bit higher? And the metals that were melting in the Maui fires were items that were required a much higher temperature. So that's
I have no doubt.
You would know.
I have no doubt about that.
That would be your area of expertise. But I mean, these metals are burning far higher than what a forest fire would allow to happen, right? Correct? I mean, you would know, but I'm just saying, when you put all these oddities together, oh, and then the guy they put in charge was, I thought of this last night, saying, what am I going to say on your show? Oversaw the biggest of the false flags of all, the most blatant of all. When you look into the Las Vegas shooting massacre, the biggest false flag of all, the biggest one with the most oddities, right, whatever, were people who literally made passionate posts on Facebook where they obviously weren't lying about multiple shooters. They were all found dead, like five people, whatever, all dead after they made these claims, whatever. Anyway, they obviously cleaning up. They put that guy in charge, the incident command over in Maui, that guy from the Las Vegas shooting who oversaw that. I mean, they're sticking it to us now. They're just mocking us. I mean, you know, this is, they're just, it's just a mocking, you know?
Well, here we get the report I was alluding to. Biden incorrectly claims he declared a national emergency on climate. Biden claimed in an interview with the Weather Channel that he's already declared a national emergency on the climate crisis. Uh-huh. I've already done that, Biden said, when asked whether he intends to declare a climate emergency. We've conserved more land. We've rejoined the Paris Climate Accords. We passed a $368 billion climate control facility. We're moving. It is the existential threat to humanity. And, of course, we know it's absurd. There is nothing to it. CO2 is not even correlated with the temperature of Earth. Therefore, there can be no causal relation. Moreover, CO2 has a cooling effect on Earth in multiple different ways and is indispensable for life on Earth. So all these efforts to reduce the amount of CO2, which are being used to destroy the energy economies of nations worldwide, are totally fabricated. It's a massive bullshit proposal to exercise more control over each of our individual lives and even make it impossible to sustain humanity on Earth.
Yep, it's insane. And he has a plan. And Bill, oh my God, Bill Gates, blocking out the sun. So what does the sun produce? Vitamin D. What's the biggest natural cure-all of diseases and preventing cancers and just general health? Vitamin D. So when they block off the sun, and you could be sure, yeah, Obama's beachfront home, once again, the hypocrisy, is going to have its sun blocked out when he sits on the beach with his overweight, manly wife and his kids. Okay, so anyway, he's going to be having the sun blocked out. Okay. And then the other plan is to spend $1.2 billion to suck carbon out of the air. I mean, these people are nuts. Just plant more trees, which I didn't even, I was so ignorant of the science so recently realized, yes, if you plant more trees, that will actually help. They want it, they, you know, planting more trees actually helps things. But, you know, it's all BS because the military uses more in emissions than anything. Okay, they don't care about the atmosphere. How about they don't care about the environment at all. Okay, if they did, they wouldn't have blown up the Nord Stream pipeline. They wouldn't have done that if they cared about the environment. So it's a lie. The whole thing is a lie. And Biden, when he said he's already declared it, sometimes they telegraph things they're going to do.
Yeah.
because they act, especially, you know, because he's older, he says things that he may be not supposed to say, because he forgets that he's not supposed to say it. Or that one, he could have just innocently meant, you know, I care about the client. But every question, when you go back, oh, they're definitely going to do it, because somebody pointed out a lawyer. He was on the Alex Jones show, whatever, this lawyer, but he was very, made a lot of sense. He was saying Gen X, or, you know, younger people, Gen X, are fed up with Biden and millennials and all this. They can't afford to buy a first house. They can't afford gas. They can't afford to buy things, basic things. And the only way, they need to do lockdowns again, because they need to give out checks. They need to suspend the student loan payments. And the only, et cetera, of course, the mail-in ballots. That's the only way they're gonna steal it again, of course. But they need all that, and the stolen election, but that's a given. But they need to, there's people, like, it's like an 80% unhappiness with the economy. It's like 80% are unhappy. And this nut job is going around promoting Bidenomics when 80% are unhappy, all right, with the economy. So they have to do something. So the lockdowns through climate change will get them there. They do the lockdowns. They'll get them.
Well, and Lori, they have complete control over the electoral system. It turns out Obama, before he left office, had our election system right down to the precinct level included in what's called FirstNet, that allows the government to review and alter the votes even at a precinct level. So there's a whole missing piece of the puzzle that is guarantees that Republicans can never win another national election, even if the Democrats are running a ham sandwich for president.
Right.
It is a disgrace.
Right. And what no one talks about, the important things nobody mentions. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, there was a Pakistani...
Yeah, hold that thought. We'll be right back after this break.
Sure.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Laura, you were talking about Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who, of course, allowed her Pakistani IT guy to survey all of Congress under cover of her office. She should have been removed from office and prosecuted for treason, in my judgment. Instead, she was so worried about losing House seats in Florida as a consequence that she appears to have been involved in orchestrating the Parkland school shooting, which was outrageous on many counts because it was a holiday, Valentine's Day, that let the kids go home early at 1 o'clock, which was their practice. Only a few dozen remained behind. They used simmunition, which is made out of beeswax and laundry detergent, so a few students who were shot got welts instead of serious injuries, as would have been the case had it been real. I even have a video, a 57-second video inside a classroom, well, you can see the kids doing their best to pretend they're scared. The camera pans and picks up a body that turns out to be a training dummy with no head, no arms, lying on a pool of fake blood. And you see individuals in police uniforms rushing in and out. And you think, wow, the Parkland cops are really Johnny on the spot. And you'd be deceived if you didn't know that about 10 years before, Parkland had given up its police force. These are just outrageous, Lori, outrageous.
It's so outrageous. And what's really scary is if things really turn, we got to really worry. It's a balancing act. If things really turn badly for the deep state, they could do a really, you know, they could do a much more horrific false flag, like an actual event where not simulation, where, you know, they blame. What stops them from blaming the MAGA movement? I mean, if they do one big thing about this, and so somebody can save this recording, just before the election, if Trump, whatever. So, don't forget, he's got to get through primary electronic machines, open primaries, and all the other shenanigans. But let's say he does triumph. Before the election, if he's way up everywhere where they can't pull it off, they'll just do a major, major event and blame MAGA. You know, the MAGA, you know, Trump people, the movement for that. And then that would turn off enough people and whatever, but getting back to the Pakistani guy. Okay. He was paid millions. Now, another thing that finally is coming out it's the little things that no one looks at with the Hunter Biden corruption. He got, I guess, for a huge criminal, will get one or two letters of national security from the bank, like where they'll say there's something going on with this person. So banks don't like to lose money. So they say, well, something is up with this person. Okay. So Hunter Biden managed to garner 150 such letters. When I heard this, I'm saying this goose is cooked. Okay. When I heard that he had 150 such letters on him, okay, when it's normal, if there's two, it's a big deal. That means he's a huge crook. And anyway, I'm just saying people don't look at these. When I first heard that, we have such a corrupt media. I was thinking of this before, such a corrupt media that they didn't report on these letters or anything. You know, it wasn't, does your average person know about this? No, it's a huge deal though. And that meant he really is involved in a bunch of stuff because the banks would know where the money, you know, what's going on there. All right. So he's a huge crook. And of course, Biden, the father, was involved because Hunter complained, I won't have something to the effect of, I won't ask you for half, your salary like Pop asks for me. That's straight up corruption right there. That meant he was getting half the proceeds of the corruption of Hunter. But anyway, but these things, and by the way, the Debbie Wasserman Schultz era and the emails and all that, John Podesta, okay, who even the Washington Post did a, well, I'll get to that in a second, but John Podesta has a job after it died down about Pizzagate and the accusations of him being a pedophile, okay? He now is like a climate, you know, you're talking about the climate emergency. He's a climate advisor now, so he gets to fly all over and do his thing. But anyway, these corrupt people are still embedded in everything. Like you're saying, the Obama administration and the Clintons and all this, they're still embedded. And by the way, this guy had artwork, and he was a wealthy guy anyway. The Washington Post goes in there, does a story on his artwork, which shows children being tortured, tied up and tortured and all this stuff. And usually when you're wealthy and successful, you pursue on some level your hobbies, your dreams, things you like. You don't have something in your house if you don't like it. If you're a wealthy individual, you know, you can buy what you want. So this guy has children tied up and tortured, and they showed it. I think they took the article down. Of course they did. But enough people saw it where people were saying, hey, wait a minute, what's going on with this guy, right? Like even your average person said, what is this, right? So then it dies down. The emails come out that Pakistani got, you know, all these emails, because John Podesta had his password be something like John. Talk about a sick freak that wants to get caught. Like his Gmail password was like John. So it was a hack. And they find out him in the WikiLeaks, all that, of Obama, who's not a foodie. He's been thin his whole life, never cared about food, just worrying about pizzas and what toppings are on these pizzas, and $65,000 for hot dogs to fly into Chicago. Now, you're president of the United States. He's not a foodie anyway. Why is he talking about pizza toppings? No one questions this. They're all codes in the FBI for child you know, pedophilia and stuff. And these people are still running the show behind the scenes. And in the case of John Podesta, overtly. I mean, these are the people involved with discussing toppings on pizzas. Who the heck? I mean, you're president of the United States. You're discussing food and how much it costs and make sure the hot dogs are there and all this stuff. What is that? And no one questions this? And all those guys with the servers and all this stuff, they're all involved, and they get millions. That guy got a lot of money. He leaves the country. Didn't he leave the country? The Pakistani IT guy leave the country with millions of dollars. And what is that? You know, I mean, I'm just saying these are the same corrupt people that are running the show now under Biden, because he's not running the show.
Oh, Lori, you're completely right. And, of course, you're really alluding to WikiLeaks actually put out a whole lot about Pizzagate, and it included an email about Barack Obama spending $65,000 of taxpayer money to fly hot dogs and pizza in from Chicago for a private party at the White House.
Yeah,
and we know
that
something is wrong. Something is wrong there, because the White House won't take food from outside sources to include poisoning. And if it were real hot dogs and real pizza, it would be soggy and inevitable by the time it got to Washington. But in pedo language, pizza and hot dogs are slang term for little girls and little boys. So Barack Obama spent $65,000 of taxpayer money to fly little girls and little boys in from Chicago for a private party at the White House. How sordid is that?
Right. No one ever mentions this. Then what is it? If they say, oh, you're a conspiracy. If I hear that one more time, I jump out of my. And by the way, my newsletter, which it's legitgov.org, legitgov.org, if you want to go there and sign up for free. But anyway, the newsletter, I get a few detractors every so often that tell me, they go, you're out of your mind. Somebody, I covered the, which is heavily censored, by the way. Now, if you get it, if you're a Gmail person that gets my newsletter, you got to look in your spam bin. But anyway, because Google just hates me. I led with a story, YouTube censoring any anything contrary to the WHO narratives coming up. They're going to send, they're not going to allow it on their platform. If you're contrary to the WHO narrative, even though later sometimes the WHO is found wrong, even by their own admissions, themselves, nobody else says they were wrong. Even that, if you go contrary to their narrative, Google will not allow it, YouTube will not allow it on their platform. But anyway, my newsletter, I covered the Alex Jones, who swore on his children. If you listen to him or not, whatever, but I happen to listen to this one. I don't, listen to all of them, whatever, but he said, I swear in the middle, he said, on my children, this is what I was told. And I don't think he'd say that if he wasn't true, that an upper level manager in the TSA said that I'm sure you heard this, that the COVID lockdowns are coming back and by mid-October it'll be full throttle, whatever, something like this. But he did a podcast on this. So I went over to the website and dared to cover, include an InfoWars summary, but he had the thing about, he had two sources. He had two sources tell him this, that they've never been wrong before in his dealings, okay? Never been wrong. So he went with it on public and said, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm doing a happy dance to say I'm wrong. Go ahead, prove Alex Jones wrong. I don't care. I don't want these lockdowns back. We can stop them. I go to cover the article, and of course everybody went into the spam bin because Google didn't like it. But somebody wrote and said, I'm crazy. And that same day I found an article that two upstate New York hospitals have already brought the masks back because of COVID uptick. So I replied with that news summary. This is from, a regular source that covers hospitals and stuff. So the source wasn't even political. It was a medical source. I sent that. I said, well, I sent the article title and summary, and I said, well, I'm going to write you back in the middle of September, because he said I was crazy, So I keep hearing how crazy I am, and then everything comes true. So I don't know how crazy I really am.
Well, Lori, you got a headline about Biden admin preparing to bring back full COVID restrictions roll out to begin mid-September. And they're talking about a lot of new mutations. Now, what the public has to understand is that a virus has to be specific to a single variant. It can't cover multiple variants, and that's a problem with coronavirus, assuming you take the whole idea seriously, that they mutate so fast. I mean, this is long known by virologists. Now, there's no point in introducing a vaccine because by the time you get it into production, the virus is already mutated and changed to a way where the vaccine will do no good. So they're just playing us again and again and again.
I know, because most people, maybe it's changing now, it's getting much better, but get their news from a mainstream, like a nighttime show, that's all they want to hear. They're busy, or they get it from MSNBC, and they don't cover, it's unbelievable, they don't cover any of this stuff. And the vaccines, I've been preaching and arguing with people for years about the evil of vaccines, okay? I mean, because I figured what they add to them, even if something is there to prevent an illness, right? Even if it actually works, they're adding all these chemicals. It's their gateway to keep customers forever, the pharmaceutical company. So I read an article, a long article of a woman. She's her child had to do a sports physical. He was totally healthy. They do a urine sample. He's fine. They see the sugar. And they say, while you're there, does he want to get the vaccines? And she figured, sure, I won't have to come back. He gets a vaccine. He gets ill. And then he has type 1 diabetes, and his sugar is like, I don't know how diabetes, what the medical issues are with it, but I guess the sugar was far higher that, he didn't have the problem before. So she's trying to get something passed now where before you get a vaccine, you take, even if it's not a law, it's just a thing that you take your see the sugar of somebody before they get a vaccine. And then after, right? So, of course, they're going crazy on that now. They don't want that because I didn't know vaccines. This wasn't the COVID vaccine, but there's some vaccines that introduce diabetes. So then they get a customer for life, right? So even if the insulin is subsidized, you know, by the government, then it's the taxpayer. So these pharmaceutical companies, even if they lower the price of insulin, which Trump did, and then Biden pulled it away in the first day, then he said he brought it back. But Trump actually lowered the prices. He capped them at, what, $35? But anyway, the vaccines have other problems, even besides the COVID vaccine. They're saying the new CDC person is saying, like, once a year and you're protected. Yeah, once a year, so you get your myocarditis. I mean, the vaccines, if people aren't, I hope they're getting wise to them at some point, these parents and children with getting multiple vaccines of their kids. Hope they're getting wise to it.
Well, you make so many telling points. I think the public is kind of aware. An awful lot of people have had relatives and friends who dropped dead. Anyone who has any doubt about the effects of the vac must watch Stu Peters' brilliant piece, you know, Died Suddenly, which just inventories again and again and again. Isn't that a fabulous piece, Lori? And I love what you do. You do such a nice job of delineating. Here, another story in your latest newsletter, NATO nation cleared by U.S. to send F-16 to Ukraine. Now, they're not going to get there until 2024, and basically the war is already over. But Russia has pointed out that F-16 can carry nuclear weapons, and they cannot tell when they look and identify a plane as an F-16 whether it is or is not carrying nukes, and therefore they have to treat them all as though they were carrying nukes. I mean, this is a great way to precipitate World War III.
I know, and even Biden, as bad as he is early on, when he was asked by the neocons in the Uniparty, because that's like, I mean, you know, Trump is different than these other, you know, Republicans. I just wish if he picked a different cabinet and advisors, we wouldn't be in this pickle we're in right now. He blew it with that. But anyway, here we are where we are. But even Biden early on said, of course, we're not going to provide because it could lead to World War. And he was asked why. And he goes, because we could have World War III. So he got convinced, obviously. He got twisted. And, you know, he was obviously told by his handlers a different way to go. Because even him at the beginning, just like, you know, I don't understand with Afghanistan. He wanted out of there, which obviously I wanted out of there for years. I wanted us never to go in Iraq. Never. I wanted us out of there, out of all these wars. Of course, I did, which actually used to be the Democrats' policy, and then till it wasn't. But anyway, the way he left, and like we've talked about this, I'm not a military person. You are. You have experience, but I have a common sense thing going where the military would leave last, and that base. You know, that base of Bagram, which they, you know, need to fuel whatever. I mean, I could see the point of keeping it if, you know, whatever reason. I mean, I'm not a military person, but, you know, the way we left and they, you know, when you drill into that attack, the day that attack, they had specific knowledge of a dry run. They knew the person going to do it and they could have taken that person out. Now, I don't like to see anybody die, but if you have 100% proof and you're seeing somebody doing a dry run and they're ready to attack Abbey Gate, that person should have been neutralized, okay? And they didn't. They wouldn't let them neutralize one individual who was planning a terrorist attack, and they let it happen. I don't know what the goal was of that, but they obviously let it happen. They could have moved the date down. He wanted everybody out by September. It was ridiculous. He could have said, no, we'll tell you the date. We'll tell you the date when we leave. We want everybody out, and not one person hair on their head who wants to leave is hurt or you'll be hurt. That's how you get out safely. I mean, you know, I don't know. But anyway, yes, they're all nuts. But we gave $2 billion to the Taliban. Did you see that in my newsletter recently? That was one that got sent to the spam bin. That Biden gave $2 billion to the Taliban.
what was the warrant for that? What was the warrant for that?
You know, they say humanitarian. I mean, but you know when you're giving it, even the cigar, you know, I'm looking for it here on the website. I'm scrolling down. I made the font bigger. You know, we're on a temporary site because some listeners may not know the huge story that we were taken down the end of June without any warning, okay? They just took the whole site down, including my email address. which was connected to the bank and PayPal and anything else, insurance. You know, when they take, if you have a email address with a website and it's connected all over the place and they take down the website, the email doesn't work. Okay. So that could be critical if you're waiting to hear about an insurance claim or something like that, right? So anyway, we immediately moved somewhere else, but I haven't, we have to set up a site on WordPress, but there's a site up right now. It's just basic. It just has the news. There's no ads. There's no pop-ups. So if you go there, you'll just see the news, but at least it's good for the people, you know. But anyway, that's legitgov.org. But I'm looking for the Taliban article. Yeah, we gave them $2 billion recently, which, you know. And then ISIS-K is coming back, huh?
And what is the rationale for giving the Taliban $2
billion? Oh, let me do a search. Yeah, I think it was for, I think it was for humanitarian. But we give money. I mean, we spent. Here it is. Biden has handed Taliban over $2 billion in 2 years. SIGAR, SIGAR report finds. I'll just read one sentence so people know what I'm saying. A report by the Special Inspector General for Afghan Reconstruction, SIGAR, notes that the Biden administration has given $2.35 billion to Afghanistan over the past 2 years, despite the fact that it is now ruled by the Taliban again following the disastrous U.S. withdrawal in 2021. The Washington Free Beacon shared details of the findings Tuesday, noting that the funds could be propping up the Taliban's terrorist government. The findings come at blah, blah, blah. John Supko, head of SIGAR, told the House Foreign Affairs Committee in April that he, quote, cannot assure the committee or the American taxpayer that we are currently not, that we are not currently funding the Taliban, unquote, and accused the Biden administration of blocking his efforts to find out. This article is dated the 9th of August, and it was from the sources Zero Hedge. People who don't know my newsletter, I have little, like four sentences after a link and title and the date. And then in the newsletter, there's like 15 of those little such things, and you click on the ones you like. And right above that article, that wasn't the lead that day. That was not the lead, no, because the lead, there were two stories above that. EPA authorizes release of 2 billion more GMO mosquitoes as reports of malaria surface in states that already released them. And then the lead that day was this. Senator Ron Johnson claims COVID was pre-planned by elite group, citing event 201 exercise in connection with Johns Hopkins Center, WF, and Gates Foundation. Then he, quote, we're up against a very, very powerful group of people here, unquote. By the way, this newsletter, I think it goes without saying, went into the spam bin everywhere. They did not want this newsletter delivered, let me tell you, with those three things in there. They did not want that out. So, it went into the spam bin, but you just have to fish it out then in that case, you know.
Lori, how can people subscribe to your newsletter? Everyone ought to be getting this. Please tell us before we hit the break. Lori, how can people subscribe to your newsletter? Sign up at legitgov.org. Sign up at legitgov.org will do it to get CLG newsletter. It's wonderful. Mitchell, did we lose Lori? Did we lose Lori? Wow. Let me add further thoughts. There's a brand new story that Hunter's attorneys may try to strong arm Biden into testifying unless a plea deal is reached where Hunter isn't subjected to any further prosecution, no matter how serious the crimes. This, of course, is completely outrageous, but looks as though we have been cut off. I'm hoping I'm still connected here and that we can get Lori back. The DOJ has become so corrupt that it appears they weren't even planning to go after Hunter for anything until more whistleblowers step forward. More whistleblowers step forward, and now it's becoming increasingly difficult to circumvent. So they're doing this grandstand play. Hunter Biden's lawyers played heavy with the DOJ, effectively threatening to force President Biden to testify in any criminal trial against a first son if a plea agreement were not reached over his multiple alleged crimes. President Biden now unquestionably would be a fact witness for the defense in any criminal trial, wrote Hunter Biden attorney Chris Clark in a 32-page letter last fall, calling the news that there was enough evidence to charge Hunter an illegal leak. The letter, along with more than 300 pages of previously unreported emails and documents exchanged between Hunter's legal team and prosecutor, sheds new light on the fraught negotiation that nearly produced a broad plea deal that would have resolved Biden's most pressing legal issues, a gun purchase and failure to pay taxes for several years, but also could have helped insulate Hunter from future prosecution by a Republican-led Justice Department. The documents show how the deal collapsed, a sudden turnabout that occurred after Republicans bashed it and a judge raised questions about it. The collapse renewed prospect that Hunter will head to trial as his father wraps up his 2024 re-election bid. Fat chance. I don't think there's any way they can afford to run Joe because he's universally despised. Lori, do we have you back?
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice.
anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we seem to have lost Lori. I don't even seem to be in contact with Mitchell, but I believe I'm still on the air. I'm going to elaborate on this article about Hunter's team playing hardball with Joe. Really fascinating. It would turn out that it would pit the President of the United States against his own Department of Justice, since they're, of course, bringing the charge. This is pretty fascinating stuff. According to Clark, now this is an attorney for Hunter. According to Clark, putting Joe on the stand would be political and constitutional chaos by pitting the President against his own Department of Justice. This, of all cases, justifies neither the spectacle of a sitting president testifying at a criminal trial nor the potential for a resulting constitutional crisis, reads the letter, shared with Politico along with several other documents. Frankly, these crimes were in collusion. We're actually talking about a conspiracy because we had two or more individuals, namely, in this case, Joe and Hunter Biden, or collaborating together along with other co-conspirators, including the president's brother, Jim, including, of course, their financial advisors, Tony Bobulinski and now Devin Archer as well. This ought to be a conspiracy trial where Joe is in the docket with Hunter, not merely appearing as a witness. In the spring of 2022, Hunter's legal team was on the warpath, using a PowerPoint invoking the looming ghost of Trump right from their opening slide. Their point was clear. Trump's ceaseless haranguing of Hunter makes any charges against the younger Biden appear as yielding to political pressure, just damaging the integrity of the Department of Justice. Of course, Hunter put himself in the spotlight by taking tens of millions from Ukraine, China, and Russia in exchange for zero identifiable benefits aside from access to his dad. While initial concerns surrounded possible charges of influence peddling or money laundering, the actual case circled around late tax payments from 2014 to 2019. Hunter's lawyers arguing charging Hunter with tax crimes would make the DOJ look like they had capitulated at Trump's call for an investigation. But obviously it was warranted. Trump made a very worthy and appropriate call. We have known that Biden is corrupt from the beginning. Indeed, I believe this is one of the reasons the Democrats installed him, knowing he was corrupt, knowing he was demented, knowing he was a pedophile, made him that much easier to manipulate, except, of course, as I've explained dozens of times, the guy they were actually putting in office wasn't the real Joe Biden from Delaware, who appears to have died in 2017, but a puppet, an imposter, all the better positioned to play the role of puppet, where I myself admit to being puzzled how his dementia, the way he has collapsed, is very suggestive of what we would expect from the real Joe Biden. But where I found an earlier, you know, and there's a lot of this online, Joe Biden giving a talk in 2007, 10 years before his death, which appears to have taken place in 2017. And the guy was very articulate, very expressive, is his hands and arms and gesture, very much as do I. And if it were not for the case that virtually everything he'd had to say was false, that the guy's a congenital lawyer, he was an impressive figure on the stump. But what we got now, of course, is mortification. No expression, no gestures, no articulation. Really, we have a shallow, pale imitation. And, of course, it's one who has a different shape and size cranium, one who has different handwriting and different signature, one who appears to be a completely different person, and where during that event in Ireland, when he reached to scratch the back of his neck, the latex mask bubbled up. Here's more of the story. Fast forward to later in 2022, and we discover Hunter could also face federal gun charges traced back to 2018 when he was deeply hooked on crack cocaine. As things escalated, Hunter's attorneys sought meetings with the highest echelons of the DOJ. These were not mere fishing expeditions, but highly strategic maneuvers designed to corner the department into a position where it had to make a call. Either it would take a reputation hit for being politically influenced or face accusation of providing preferential treatment to the president's son. By spring of 2023, it seemed DOJ was looking for an exit strategy and were open to cutting a deal that would save face for everyone involved, especially the department itself. The proposed agreement doesn't require a guilty plea from Hunter, but has its own laundry list of requirements. More. From the fall of 2022 through the spring of 2023, Clark sought meetings with people at the highest levels of the Department of Justice, almost entirely without success. In multiple emails, he has to meet with the head of the criminal division, the head of the tax division, the Office of Legal Counsel, the Office of the Solicitor General, Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco, and the Attorney General himself. On February 21st, 2023, Clark's team reached out to multiple officials at Maine Justice who passed his request from one person to the next. The search ended when Clark sent Associate Deputy Attorney General Bradley Wershaheimer an exasperated email saying to ask the government over and over to tell him who at headquarters they would appeal to if Weiss decided to change their client. Please advise whether you would be the appropriate person to hear our client's appeal in the event U.S. Attorney's Office decide to charge Mr. Biden, wrote Clark. Weinsheimer caved. Meeting with Clark and Weiss on April 25th. While it's not clear what happened during the meeting, the Wall Street Journal reported an IRS supervisor was prepared to testify there was internal political pressure to slow walk and stonewall the investigation. Until Biden's lawyers, who argued their client was beating too harshly because of politics, which is about as absurd as it gets, the IRS supervisor was set to testify that Hunter was receiving preferential treatment. After that, a deal emerged in May, which would see Hunter admit to filing taxes late in 2017 and 18, that he owned a gun while using drugs, and that he would both pay back taxes and never own a gun again. If Hunter could stick to these basic agreements until January of 2025, the DOJ promised not to prosecute him for anything they'd investigated thus far, which, of course, would have been all of the far more serious charges. The Department of Justice agrees not to criminally prosecute Robert Hunter Biden and the affiliated business entities, namely Osuaco PC, Osuaco LLC, and Scana 8 Dells LLC, A, for any federal crimes arising from the conduct generally described in the attached statement of facts, attachment A, or B, for any other federal crimes relating to matters investigated by the United States, reads a now dead plea deal. Then, IRS investigator Gary Shapley testified the DOJ had slow walked the investigation. Within days of the interview airing, DOJ prosecutors made clear to Biden's lawyers, at Hunter's, that the deal would have to change and that Hunter would need to plead guilty to tax charges, according to two persons familiar with the talks who were guaranteed anonymity to share their details. Hunter's team acceded to the new demand, agreeing he would plead guilty to two misdemeanor counts of willfully failing to pay his taxes, but he wouldn't plead guilty to the gun charge. Instead, that issue would be resolved through a pretrial diversion agreement that could result in withdrawal of charges after a few years. Then, on the evening of June 2nd, Clark emailed Wolf to say that immunity from prosecution was vital to the deal, sending language to include saying the U.S. would not prosecute Hunter Biden for any federal crimes arising from the conduct generally described in the two documents that would be included in the final deal. This language or its functional equivalent is very critical to us, Clark added, meaning they're trying to thread a needle here and find a way to exonerate Biden from any future charges that involve far, far more serious issues. Continuing. Reading between the lines, the deal would protect Hunter from a potential Trump administration or that of another Republican who might win the 2024 election. The language Clark insisted upon would have immense consequences. Quoting, the United States agrees not to criminally prosecute Hunter Biden outside of the terms of this agreement for any federal crimes encompassed by the attached statement of facts, attachment A, and the statement of facts attaches Exhibit 1 to the memorandum of plea agreement filed this same day. This agreement does not provide any protection against prosecution for any future conduct by Biden or by any of his affiliated businesses. Then, after a judge asked several questions about the deal at a hearing last month, the deal completely unraveled, and the prosecutor overseeing the probe has been made a special counsel who says the case is heading to trial on Thursday. The judge green-lighted a motion by prosecutors to withdraw the tax charges so they can be filed elsewhere. She also approved Clark's request to leave Biden's legal team because he might be called as a witness at a potential trial. Whether Joe could become a witness is now a big question. But so is the very appointment of this guy as a special counsel. I mean, this is all completely wrong. all completely wrong. You got Biden's own Department of Justice appoint a special prosecutor for Biden's son, but the special prosecutor comes from the Department of Justice. He's not independent. He's not separate from. There's no question but what this is, a corrupt appointment. And it's, I think, not going to play out well. But obviously, the Department of Justice is doing everything it possibly can in order to try to work out an agreement that's going to keep Hunter off of the hook. Really pretty bad this is going on. Pretty outrageous. Wow. Meanwhile, as I mentioned earlier in my conversation with Lori, NATO has cleared to send F-16 to Ukraine. This is a calamitous decision, except, as I've also observed, the war should long be over at that point in time. Denmark and the Netherlands have received the green light to provide Ukraine with F-16s. Kiev has been requesting them for months. Speaking to Denmark Radio, the Danish foreign minister revealed that he and Defense Minister Jarson had received a friendly letter from the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken giving us certain options for action. When asked if Denmark would now send F-16 to Ukraine, Rasmussen, the Danish foreign minister, explained Washington's approval meant a barrier to being able to do so is no longer there, and that Copenhagen is discussing future steps with its allies. The U.S. approval was also confirmed by the Dutch foreign minister. Writing on X, formerly known as Twitter, he said the Netherlands welcomes Washington's decision to pave the way for sending F-16 to Ukraine. That marks a major milestone for Kiev in the conflict with Russia, and his country will discuss the matter with its European partners. The remarks followed a Reuters report citing Blinken's letter as saying the two NATO countries would send the jets as soon as the first set of pilots complete their training. Denmark, at present 43 F-16s, around 30 of which are serviceable, the Netherlands 24. Ukraine has been requesting them for months, arguing they would help to counter Russia's air superiority. While Kiev has yet to receive modern jets, the UK and the Netherlands announced an international coalition to help Ukraine procure F-16s, a group that now includes 11 nations. According to media reports, however, efforts to instruct Ukrainian pilots have been hampered by delays in the transfer of flight manuals and simulators, with a language barrier also causing problems. Against this backdrop, Ukrainian officials have said they do not expect to receive F-16s until 2014. The Ukrainian requests also come during the much-touted counteroffensive, which so far has failed to gain any ground. Ukrainian officials have attempted to explain the slow progress by pointing to Russia's advantage in the air. Russian President Putin has warned the West against providing Ukraine with F-16, saying they will burn, just like other Western supplied weaponry. Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov has cautioned the planes could escalate hostilities as they can potentially carry nuclear weapons. Meanwhile, not only the government continue to promote false claims about Ukraine's ability to fight and win a war it's obviously losing, but they're seeking to silence anyone with a contrary opinion. Get this. YouTube bans Scott Ritter. The site has completely scrubbed the channel of the former U.S. intel officer who has repeatedly voiced support for Russia. Really? He's explained that Russia is winning the war. Is that voicing support for Russia? I do believe Russia has a just cause But Putin explained the very day that the intrusion was announced. He is right. Ukraine was about to launch an all-out slaughter on the Russian-friendly residents of the Donbass. Russia intervened just in time to save them, where they'd been under artillery bombardment since the revolution of 2014 that removed a Russia-friendly president and installed him with a Western puppet, all under the auspices of Victoria Nuland, who is, you know, one of the foremost proponents of provoking a war between Russia and the United States, regardless of how many should die. Writing on X, formerly known as Twitter, and you know this branding thing by going from Twitter, which is internationally known, to X, was just, in my opinion, a colossal blunder by Elon Musk. Ritter stated his channel, The Scott Ritter Show, through which he attempted to import Russian voices to an American Western audience, had been flagged for hate speech and taken down without prior warning or any specific examples of the offense. There was never any hate speech involved in any episode of the Scott Ritter Show, unless one views unique content from silent voices as hateful. Calling the move the latest in a series of action by YouTube to silence Russian voices. By the way, I'm quite convinced YouTube in this case is acting as an agent of the state to circumvent the First Amendment. This represents a living manifestation of the disease of Russophobia, which has swept America and U.S.-based social media platforms, he wrote in a separate post. Ritter noted that, in addition to his channel, YouTube had also deleted the Ask the Inspector channel, claiming the move is a targeted effort by YouTube to remove or minimize my voice and those of my guests and the people who took the time to ask probing questions about the pressing issues of the day. Those who are behind this should know you won't succeed. That there's a vast social media world beyond YouTube, warning those who remain on the platform that they will at some point have to conform to it or have their channel deleted too. Both of them, Ask the Inspector and the Scott Ritter Show, were moving to Rumble, he explained to RT. Meanwhile, assassinations are taking place in Ecuador, rather shocking. To say things are tense in Ecuador right now would be a severe understatement. The country is suffering a lot of political upheaval, especially with the upcoming election just days away. On August 9th, assassins attacked and killed presidential candidate Fernando Villavicencio. Just days later, gang members shot another politician to death. Local party leader Pedro Briones came under attack and died after an assailant shot him to death in Esmeraldas on August 14th, just 5 days after Villavicencio's death. He wasn't running for president, but was a left-wing politician who headed the Citizen Revolution Party. Lucia Gonzalez, a front-runner for the upcoming election and a member of Citizens Revolution, confirmed Brioni's death. Authorities don't know much about the tragic incident or who perpetrated it yet. It speaks to the rise of violence. We have Benjamin Rubenstein tweeting, breaking. Pedro Briones, local organizer for Citizens Revolution, left-wing party leading in polls in Ecuador's Esmeraldas province, was assassinated less than a week after presidential candidate Fernando Villavicencio was murdered. Gonzalez is also taking a hard stance on crime, particularly in calling out current President Guillermo Lasso's failure in detention centers where inmates run the show. In jails alone, 400 people have died since 2021 due to riot outbreaks, She said in a tweet, the country is experiencing its bloodiest era. The U.S. also became involved in the investigation of Villaciano's death. Well, that's reassuring, isn't it? At Lasso's invitation, FBI agents are working with Ecuadorian police, and authorities have arrested six Colombian citizens in connection with a murder. The candidate was very outspoken, particularly about organized crime and the government's involvement, which likely made him a target in a nation riddled with corruption. Law enforcement has not released a motive for Viviciano's death at this time. In July, an assailant killed another Ecuadorian politician in Manta, Mayor Agustin Intriago. A gunman in a stolen truck shot him several times. The police caught up with and arrested the truck driver. The suspected murderer escaped. In February, attackers shot and killed Omar Menendez, a Citizen Revolution Movement mayoral candidate who won his election posthumously, and a campaign worker. Just weeks before that, a recently released drug trafficker killed Salinas Mayor Julio Cesar Franchillo after making previous threats. While political killings were once rare in Ecuador, the uptick is certainly a cause for concern.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I've been unable to reach Mitchell, my producer. I just got off the phone with Lori Price, who couldn't understand why, you know, she was disconnected. She thought maybe somehow it had gone to the break. So, of course, no surprise here. It was clear censorship. There's no question about it in my mind. Absolutely outrageous. There's an awful lot going on out there in the world, and Lori does a super good job of it. Let me return to what's going on in Maui, because that's such a central issue. Satellite photos show the full scale of the deadly attack. There are some very, very good reports about it. Here is one, and just listen up. This is a very good report.
Survivors of the Maui fire say that they received no warning and that the flames appeared so quickly that escape was difficult. Everything was suddenly in flames, and many found refuge in the ocean for hours while their homes burned to the ground and into the same powdery ash footprint we've seen in recent years. So far, it is estimated that nearly 1,000 people have died. Locals are worried this includes hundreds of children who were home due to school being canceled that day. Several people are reporting that the government is not only doing little to help, but they are blocking local efforts to do so and are not allowing local donations through, and that they are blocking life-saving medicine because it isn't federally approved.
Denying people access to bring in supplies, just supplies for people to live.
The government withholding every single one of our donations because we are not a part of FEMA and Red Cross. So none of this is eligible for giving out. Tell me why. I have no freaking clue.
The people of Maui are on their own for now. And aside from the federal government's bureaucratic failure, they have good reason to be suspicious. Just like what we saw 5 years ago in Paradise, California, there was nothing normal about these fires. Within a day of burning, it was like a bomb went off.
When you see the full extent of the destruction that will shock you. It does appear like a bomb and fire went off, if I may. And all of those buildings virtually are going to have to be rebuilt. It will be a new Lahaina.
Local residents have been reporting bright flashes of light. One was captured by a home security camera that appears to have been the start of the Olinda fire. Many people are saying that it was directed energy weapons. We know that most major governments already have them. And during the California fires, online weather maps recorded what looks like a laser from above, striking an area just before it bursts into flames. In his research, Dennis Mills discovered that the incendiary aluminum and barium nanodust from chemtrails is most likely fueling the ferocity of today's so-called super wildfires. And on the day before the Maui fires broke out, locals were reporting a heavy overcast from chemtrailing that they'd never seen before. It's also interesting to note that the Maui police chief was the incident commander for the Las Vegas mass shooting in 2017. Lahaina is considered to be a historic and sacred land. It was the capital of the Kingdom of Hawaii before it was taken by the United States. It's been occupied by Native Hawaiians ever since, who are defiantly opposed to the mainland outsiders who have been buying up land with no respect for local culture. Not just BlackRock and Vanguard, but billionaires like Mark Zuckerberg, who owns more land on Kauai than what the government of Kauai owns, and Oprah Winfrey, who has bought over 1,000 acres of land in Hawaii, including a new 870 acres in Maui she just bought this spring. In 2018, the Paradise wildfires broke out exactly where the United Nations have plans to somehow make off-limits to humans. And that same year, a report on wildfire prevention was published that was focused on the exact same areas in Maui where the fires just broke out.
All the historic downtown, all of it is demolished and all the houses gone. But those commercial big box stores are still there.
Hawaii Governor Josh Green has been putting the World Economic Forum's Great Reset agenda ahead of Hawaiian interests. Just weeks before the fire, he unveiled an emergency proclamation on housing that eliminates the traditional land use commission, allowing the government more leeway to build as they see fit, such as building 15-minute smart cities run by artificial intelligence, just like they've been planning to do in Hawaii for years.
At some point, I will make a major donation after all of the smoke and ashes have settled here and we figure out what the rebuilding is going to look like. This is going to be a long and difficult process. You're going to see a lot of Phoenix stories rising from the ashes here.
Yeah, and what happened? I mean, just think about it. If this had been a legitimate wildfire, they would have sounded the alarm. They wouldn't have cut off the water. They wouldn't have not allowed residents to flee. Probably the children would not have even been at home. They were turned to charcoal. You got bodies of families huddled together. You got a dog that's been turned to a crisp in the middle of a road. Now, dogs are fire aversive. They're going to run away. They're going to evade. But they were hit by something that was catastrophic. And if you go along the landscape, you see certain buildings were exempted. They weren't on the list. So you got this, all this devastation along the shorefront. And then lo and behold, there's this wonderful structure. Guess what? It belongs to the governor. And you go a little further and there's this wonderful structure. It's a hotel. Another rich owner, no doubt, another part of the elite. And there can't be any doubt about this having been done with directed energy weapons. We even have video of it. You're not going to be able to see it. I'm going to play it. But here it is. Listen. This is a stunning light coming down and destroying everything it hits. It is awesome. Awesome. Since you can't see it, let me just mention, I believe one of the serious ramifications of the United States government using these sophisticated technologies on the American people is that Russia and China are observing it take place. And they're going to be very concerned that those same techniques, those same devastating technologies are going to be used against them. In fact, I believe that the lasers have been used already in targets in Russia, which may lead the Russians and the Chinese to the conclusion that they have to take out the American satellite weapons lest they be used against them. Well, that might not be so serious were we not in such a provocative relationship now with Russia as being driven by a group of individuals who have no interest in the United States but are Zionists and want to use the United States as a weapon to promote the interests of Israel. Here's an article you want to catch in UNZ.com. Kaganism. The people steering us into another world war. The Iraq war debacle. The relative to Bush restraint of the Obama administration and the 2016 anti-interventionist campaign of Donald Trump. And I've said before and I say again, it may be the fact that Trump doesn't want to just rush into every military engagement or provoke wars right and left. You go back over the last six or seven presidencies, he's the only one who did not get us into a war. May have seemingly discredited the neoconservative movement and its personality, but they have come roaring back. This new stage in American foreign policy could be characterized as Kaganism. Neither Democrat nor Republican, but rather nonpartisan 21st century crusade for liberalism. No, really, it's for Zionism. Donald Kagan, the patriarch of Kaganism, followed a similar intellectual trajectory to his colleagues Irving Kristol and Norman Budhoetz, Marxist academics who transformed into rabid Reaganoid Cold Warriors in response to the Soviet Union's support for Arab nationalism and anti-Zionism in the 1960s. Donald was quite clearly in the Republican camp, though his children have dropped some of the right-wing elements of the neoconservative doctrine previously used to mobilize evangelical Christian voting blocks and replace it with a unified American state ideology that is as at home in the Democrat Party as it is in the GOP. Israeli is promoting the establishment on both sides' interest in maintaining war in the gravy train it represents, which Trump threatened to bring to a halt, which is why both sides despise him. Donald Sons, this is Kagan, the American Enterprise Institute's Frederick Kagan and the Brookings Institute Robert Kagan were highly influential in the W. Bush administration through think tanks, such as the Project for a New American Century and the Foreign Policy Initiative, though today they've largely distanced themselves from the GOP, following the party's alienation of Jewish elites through Trumpification. Through the party's alienation of Jewish elites through Trumpification. This is another reason Trump is not just a stooge of Jewish or Israeli or Zionist interests. This article is getting it right. At PNAC, the Kagans were primarily concerned with expanding Israel power by using the United States to topple Saddam Hussein, Bashar al-Assad, and strangling Iran. But by 2006, they grew increasingly suspicious and hostile toward Russia and China, were seeking more control in how they interface with Western, read Jewish, financial institutions and cultural values, while simultaneously choosing to pursue their own foreign policy paths, independent of Pax Americana. Over time, the fears of Kaganism have been vindicated as China and Russia have evolved from wildcard UN votes to outright revisionist powers ready to directly confront Washington interlopers in their backyards. The Kaganists blame the rise of China, Russia, and Iran on the war and free trade weary American people. In 2016, he even managed to pressure Hillary Clinton into tactically walking back her support for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a move that enraged Kagan. For most Americans, the nation wrecking trade deficits, which are in truth subsidies to buy subservience, trillion-dollar wars, and mountains of body bags required to oversee a world empire, are neither necessary nor worthwhile for the well-being of the geographically gifted and resource-rich United States. In 2019, current Secretary of State Anthony Blinken and Robert Kagan, the husband of Undersecretary of State Victoria Nuland, published an editorial excoriating the America First message embraced by segments of both parties and reiterated the minority Jewish held international elite consensus think tanks have been churning out for decades. According to Blinken and Kagan, a world of realism where countries are free of Jewish minders and American blood and treasure is exclusively preserved for the benefit of the American people is a jungle that allows budding Hitler's, Putin, Mussolini's Iran, and Hirohito's China to spread anti-democratic revolution against Anglo-Americans, a term Kagan has used to identify the civilizational project, even as they support demographic replacement of the European stock in English-speaking country, liberal globalist hegemony. Under the doctrine of Kaganism, and of course that's a clergy plan to flood the nations of Europe with migrants from Africa, just as it's been extended to the Western Hemisphere to flood the United States with migrants not just from Central and South America, from actually literally all over the world. Under the doctrine of Kaganism, the only solution to global conflicts is to refuse diplomacy with sovereign states that have different cultures or political traditions and instead kill and replace them through the Bolshevik export of American values around the world, which they described as the primacy of New York finance and free trade, arbitrary and illegal regime change wars, open borders and the free movement of people, not in Israel, of course, but in the United States and the West, actively demoralizing and disempowering radical majorities and other planks of the Jewish open society and intends to assault all potential seedbacks for fascism, for anti-Semitism, even though much of the world, including the American people, don't want it. In other words, they're fighting a straw man. They have invented an enemy they're going after with vengeance. The central domestic political theory of Kaganism reports that liberalism is in perpetual antagonism with populism, which the Kagans view as a strain of fascism. In other words, the will of the people. The Kaganists view the democratic accountability of political leaders, self-interested, at least in the case of Gentiles, trade-offs, and the free discussion of ideas as a distraction or minor inconvenience to suppress and push through, as shown in their latest book, celebrating FDR for deceiving the American people into fighting a world war against Germany and Japan, two countries Kagan even admits never posed a security threat to the United States, but had to be lured into a confrontation anyway. The Institute for the Study of War, Frederick Kagan, and ISW founder Kimberly Kagan, Frederick's wife, have written extensively about the information space as a battle realm no different from land, sea, and air. Under Kaganism, the minds of citizens are clay to be molded, and the role of the American government and business elites is to manufacture consensus for decision made by Jewish policymakers through the control and manipulation of cyberspace and mass media in the name of policing misinformation. The Department of Homeland Security, a highly insular Jewish wing of the U.S. government dedicated to domestic spying. Let me repeat that. the Department of Homeland Security, a highly insular Jewish wing of the U.S. government dedicated to domestic spying, sought to formally implement this directive, but then pause its official establishment after popular outcry. The closure of this disinformation board was meaningless. Recent journalistic pieces have reported much of the political content users consume on Facebook, Google, and Twitter is subject to direct editorial oversight from droves of FBI and CIA agents employed full-time by social media companies. I declare that's what happened to our show today. Someone among those droves of FBI and CIA agents employed full-time by social media companies censored our show. Lori was simply presenting too much truth. In recent years, Western and Zionist intel agencies have been very active in seeking to manufacture popular support for foreign interventions, which in practice range from the amateurish and analog Syria information war 10 years ago to the much more sophisticated, very online, and more organic appearing pro-Ukraine push. Much of the Kagan clan is dedicated to providing Washington's ideological framework, but its most prominent member, Robert Kagan's wife, Victoria Nuland, has been instrumental in implementing it around the world, though previously not as well known. Nuland is no stranger to disastrous foreign policy decisions. Prior to serving under Obama, she was an important national security advisor, making calls on Iraq for Dick Cheney during the first Bush government, while her husband was busy calling Europeans pussies for refusing to join the coalition of the willing to get Saddam Hussein. Nuland was busy roping Europe into the Afghanistan quagmire in order to maintain the occupation while easing American logistic challenges in Iraq. Nuland's most famous moment came in 2014 when, after a phone call to the U.S. Embassy was publicized, exposing her as one of the shadowy figures behind the coup that overthrew the democratically elected Ukrainian government and put the country on track for the bloody wars in which it's currently engaged. Nuland has admitted this coup cost American taxpayers $5 billion. For Nuland, the lives of allies and innocent people are disposable pawns on a chessboard. Much like Jewish liberal interventionist Madeleine Albright's famously ghoulish appraisal of draining 500,000 Iraqi children's lives just to weaken Iraq's economy, the Kazan believed the hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian casualties and irreparable harm done to the Ukrainian nation is a worthy exchange if it means potentially blemishing Russian-China prestige on the world stage or extending Washington's universal hegemony by a few years. As the war drags on, polls now show that the majority of Americans oppose giving Ukraine any more aid. Encouraging news for the Ukrainian side has become ever more scant, and the famed counteroffensive appears to have amounted to nothing. Yet Frederick Kagan, the warp mind behind the disastrous 2017 Iraq troop surge, an advocate of a second, continues to publish articles with titles like "How the Ukrainian Counteroffensive Can Still Succeed." Ukraine is by no means the last we have seen of Kaganism. While the world has reacted in a far more nuanced manner than to the conflict than expected, and the U.S. has struggled to win most of the world over, to the anti-Russian campaign, the neoconservative doctrine is once again ascendant. And I add, this is tragic. Last July, Doolin assumed a new and more powerful role as Undersecretary at the State Department. In her previous role as Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs, she was publicly identified as by the now imprisoned Pakistani leader Imran Khan as a principal architect behind the U.S. orchestrated coup against him, which was executed in retaliation for Khan's policy of neutrality regarding the Ukraine war in Niger, where 1,000 U.S. troops are stationed and refused to leave. Doolin met with the country's new government to threaten them with violence if they do not restore the deposed public government, a threat the Washington Paris Proxy African Alliance of ECOWAS has been openly telegraphing as well. Doolin has been lighting fires on every continent on the planet. The most trademark Kagan escalation has been the deployment of thousands of U.S. Marines in the Persian Gulf in order to advance Israeli strategic interests. Get the message. It's very clear. The U.S. government is being run by Jews who are Israeli proponents for the interests of Israel, not the United States. These people have no business in the administration of American government. And I believe one of the great virtues of Trump is he will get rid of them, which is why they're fighting him so fiercely.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their